Well, please turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. As we've been going through this book, we've so far looked at verses 1 to 11. This morning we're going to look at verses 12 to 20, which has to do with Paul's imprisonment. So it'd be good to read verses 12 to 20 first of all. Starting at verse 12, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set free from the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether it in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be manifest in my bonds, whether it be by life or by death." So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for your word. And Lord, as we stop and consider the things that you inspired the Apostle Paul to write here, that Lord, we would gain an insight to this man's mind. We would gather an insight to your desire for us and the attitude that you would have us to have as well. And Lord, we ask that your Spirit will be the one who dwells with us. And Lord, illuminates us of these things. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if we're looking for a key verse in this passage, there's probably two, verse 12 and verse 20. But as we look at verse 12, particularly, we read this: "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Question: have you ever thought that whatever happens in life, no matter what it may be, can be used to glorify God in the furtherance of the gospel? Have you ever stopped to think of that? Regardless if it's a sickness, some sort of tragedy in life, or something as wonderful as a wedding or a birth, or as horrific as a murder. Maybe something nice like a holiday. Maybe something discouraging like an unhappy marriage, or a new job, or going off to a new school, or heading to university. Have you ever stopped to think that the Lord allows you to be in various circumstances throughout your life that you normally wouldn't be, or you certainly wouldn't choose to be, so that his name can be glorified, particularly through the sharing of the gospel? And if we're not aware of this, too often opportunities can come and they go and we don't even give it a thought that, hey, God has put me here for a purpose, and we're looking for those reasons. Instead, we just go through life and opportunities pass us by. Well, we see here with Paul, he found himself stuck in a prison in Rome, unable to go outside. He wasn't able to travel around from country to country preaching the gospel. He wasn't able to see souls saved in those cities and churches established like he had done in the past. Yet Paul still used the circumstances that he found himself in to share the gospel. Imagine if Paul, after having such freedom, thought that the preaching of the gospel was over. I'm stuck here in this prison. What on earth can I do here? How on earth could God possibly use me here? I may as well just sit here, feel sorry for myself and get bored, thinking what such a waste of time God allowing me to be in this predicament. If he had acted like that, many people, I dare say, wouldn't have got saved. A lot of people wouldn't have been encouraged, and we certainly wouldn't have had a lot of encouraging epistles such as this one here to the Philippians. But Paul didn't just get consumed by the circumstances that he found himself in at this time. He knew that God could use even this imprisonment as an opportunity to share the gospel. And so he looked for the ways and he took them. And this is a lesson for us today, and that is no matter what we face, no matter what we're facing at the moment, we have to realize that God can use it for the furtherance of the gospel if we're willing to have the right attitude. And so with that in mind, we're going to have a look at how this came about with the Apostle Paul. We know that he was in prison in Rome. We know that the Philippians were partners in the gospel ministry, and because they were partners with the Apostle Paul, they were very concerned for him there at Rome in prison. So concerned that they had sent Epaphroditus to minister to Paul's needs while he was there in imprisonment. And knowing they would have been concerned, Paul wanted to make sure they understood that he was okay. And it was all right, him being in prison. In fact, God was actually using it as a blessing as he had opportunity to share the gospel. And so this is what he says there in verse 12. I would have ye should understand. Or in everyday language, I just want you to understand, or I want you to know this, that the things which happened unto me, that is my imprisonment, have fallen rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Furtherance means advancement of the gospel. It had been progressing. Things hadn't slowed down. Things had actually got better when it comes to the gospel. Can bad things be an opportunity to advance the gospel? Well, what we discover here is most certainly yes. When things don't go the way that we would like them to go or the way that we think they should be going, what we should understand is that there is a God who is sovereign and he's allowed it to happen for a purpose, and so we should be looking for why he's allowed these things to happen. With Paul, I'm sure that this wasn't Satan's purpose. It wasn't Satan's purpose to allow the gospel to further and advance. I'm sure he thought it might discredit the message that Paul preached, that he was a prisoner. Who would listen to a prisoner? Maybe it would hinder him from winning souls. I'll just jam him in that prison, and so he can hardly speak to anyone, so he won't be able to get around and preach our gospel. Maybe he thought it would discourage him and others from preaching the gospel. See what happens when you go and tell others about this Jesus? You end up in prison and so scare people off from actually doing it. But none of Satan's purposes were fulfilled. Rather, they led to the advancement or the furtherance of the gospel. If Paul wasn't put in prison, then maybe the gospel wouldn't have reached areas that it did, such as the palace, as we see as we go on. And here we have this a wonderful example of God bringing good out of evil. Satan thought that this would hinder the work. He would get this troublemaker out of his way and discourage him, but it had the opposite result. And Paul wanted to encourage the Philippians that, hey, don't worry that I'm in prison at the moment. God is still using it for His glory. And that's what He goes on and explains. He first of all tells them that I want you to understand that the things that have happened unto me has actually worked to the furtherance of the gospel. And then after saying that in verses 13 and so on, He explains how the gospel had furthered. And He says there, first of all, we see that it had got into the palace. It says there, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. You know, the word there, palace, literally means the praetorium. The praetorium was actually the strictest sense, in the strictest sense, were the bodyguards of Caesar. They were an elite group of soldiers assigned to protect vital areas such as Caesar in the palace and various other places as well. It was used also in a loose manner to describe the places where these elite soldiers would protect. And so when you talk about the praetorium, you would be talking about the soldiers and the place like the palace where they protected. And what Paul is saying here is that his bonds in Christ, that is his imprisonment and the gospel that he shared, had made it into the palace. It had gone into various places, the palace and all other places as well. We can suspect it came or went via the very soldiers. God made it so that Paul wasn't just stuck in a prison by himself, but he had to have soldiers chained to him as well. And so these soldiers sat there with Paul while he shared with visitors about Christ. And so they heard the gospel that way. I'm sure when there was no one else to talk to, Paul would say, so, about this Jesus that I'm in prison for. And so he had this captive audience where he was meant to be the captive, but really that poor guy chained to Paul was the captive audience, and he could share the gospel with the soldiers as they came and took over from him. And so who knows how many soldiers came to know the Lord Jesus through that alone. And then as they went into the palace, as saved people, they shared with others in the palace as well, and they got saved. And then these soldiers went out and shared the gospel with others in all other places. You know, we know in the last part of the epistle in chapter 4, verse 24, he says, and all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Household either means family members or those living in the palace. And so there were saved people living in the palace where that wicked Emperor Nero was. And I've read that there are historical letters that speak of some advisors to Nero and also relatives of Nero who were killed because they professed to being Christians. And so in the little bit of detail that we have, we see that the gospel got into the very emperor's room and into the palace itself. More than likely through the soldiers. And so even being stuck in prison, chained to soldiers, he was able to be used by God to further the gospel. Now, that's not normally how you'd think you'd spread the gospel at Rome, would you? You'd think, okay, how can we get the gospel to Rome? We'll send Paul there and he'll be able to go around and spread the gospel, have liberty to preach to whoever he wants. That's how we think. God says, I'll stick him in a prison and so he can have visitors and he'll be stuck with those Roman soldiers and then they can go into the palace. That's how I'll spread the gospel. That's not normally how we would do it. But God is able to use anything for His glory. And there's a very good lesson that we can learn from this. You know, we may feel at times as though we have what we would call chains around us. Things that are holding us back. Things that are slowing us down. things where we may think to ourselves, if only I didn't have this problem in my life, or if only I wasn't faced with this circumstances in my life, boy, I could be used by God so much. But because of these circumstances, because of these problems, because of these chains, I'm just not able to do what I really think I could be doing. And we allow problems or these so-called chains to be the one focus in our life, and we miss the opportunities that God gives us in these times. And if there are things in your life at the moment that you think, if only this wasn't here, I could be used by God so much, can I encourage you to take the have the same attitude the Apostle Paul had? Don't get discouraged by the chains and the problems. Realize you have a sovereign God. He's allowed you to be there or have that circumstance in your life for a reason. And bring Christ into that circumstance and ask Him to show you how you can be used by Him. How can you glorify His name through this? And then what you'll find is, as God opens opportunities or shows you how you can be used, you'll actually rejoice in those circumstances. As Paul saw people getting saved as he's there in prison, he rejoiced that he could have that opportunity to be there. And that will be the same for us if we don't have or react unscripturally or with fleshly reactions. You know, when we have circumstances, we must not give in to the temptation that Satan will bring to us, that we act how he wants us to act in these circumstances. And we get discouraged and we get bitter and we get angry and we get cynical, or we act in sinful ways to make ourselves feel good. Instead, we go to Christ and say, Christ, how do you want to use me here? And then we can be rejoicing and what God is doing through the circumstances that seem bad in the eyes of the world. And so that's what Paul wanted them to see, first of all, that it was a blessing because people were getting saved. But then he shows or explains another way the gospel was being spread by his imprisonment, and that is, it was encouraging others to do the same. Verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And so we see here that the spread of the gospel didn't stop with Paul sharing the gospel with those that came to his prison, but also the courage of Paul encouraged others to speak boldly the gospel as well. I'm sure Satan was hoping it would have the reverse effect. People would say, wow, if I speak up and tell others of Christ, I'm going to end up in prison. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut. But then as Paul was bold in that circumstance and thinking, boy, that's not too bad. Look, God is able to use him even in that circumstance. Hey, I'm going to preach the gospel as well. Because if God can use Paul, regardless if I'm free or I'm in prison, he can use me as well. And so there was that boldness that came due to Paul's boldness. And you know, there's nothing that breeds courage better than courage. If you aren't courageous enough to share the gospel with others, well then hang around those who are courageous enough and let their courage rub off onto you. As you see God use them, then you'll be encouraged to do the same. And this is what happened to the believers at Rome. Paul was in prison, witnessing to those soldiers who were killers. Yet God was using him. And God was blessing that. And so that brought others boldness as well to do the same. It's a little bit like, just say Edward somehow made arrangements to go to a high security prison in Melbourne, and we were able to hand out tracts to the the worst criminals in Victoria. Somehow he was allowed to walk free in their courtyard on their times off and hand out tracts. And he thinks it's a great idea. Like, we can mingle with all the murderers and the rapists and all these evil people and give them tracts. And he says, I'm just wanting some people to go with me to mingle in the court as they walk around. He probably wouldn't get too many people, certainly not knocking down the door to do it. Yet, just say he went down with maybe one or two other brave souls, and report comes back that, hey, they're flocking to him, handing out all these tracts, they're reading it, they're falling down on their knees, and they're calling out to God to save them, and there's a revival taking place, and they're having Bible studies, and everyone's waiting for them to come again so they can read more. If you hear that, and he says, I need some more help. And you think, hey, that's not too bad. I might go down and do that too. That sounds exciting. It's not as scary as I thought. See how when you see someone who will be willing to do something for God, and that seems scary, but with their boldness there is results and God blesses, then it doesn't seem that scary. And you can apply that to just about any area of life that is scary. Sometimes what's needed is for someone to be bold enough to use their hard or their scary situation for the furtherance of the gospel, and then that situation doesn't seem that scary after all. Hey, if I get that disease, I could be used by God like that person. If I find myself in that circumstance, hey, I can be used by God like that person. It doesn't seem as scary. It doesn't mean it's any less sad, but you are able to use it for God. And that's what happened here. Paul was bold, and it made other people bold. But that wasn't the only other way that the gospel was able to be spread because of his imprisonment. He goes on in verses 15 to 17 and share how not everyone shared the message of Christ for pure motives. And this is a very interesting one. It says there in verse 15 and 16, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So when you read that some people were actually telling or sharing the gospel in order to make life harder for Paul. Now, I guess there are two ways they could have done this. They could have made out that they were preaching the gospel, they were a gospel preacher, and so they're telling people of the Lord and the gospel message, but they were doing it in a very harsh way, a way that would actually cause people to be offended, and then so people would think, well, if that's what Paul stands for, I want nothing to do with it, and they would actually hate Paul for it. They could have been doing it that way, or they could have been doing it in a manner where they were saying to people, have you heard of what this Paul is saying? This Paul is saying that Jesus that was crucified was the Messiah that the Jews were waiting for. He was saying that he rose from the dead. Can you believe that? He's saying that you have to put your faith in this Jesus in order to be saved. That is the most ridiculous thing. Can you see that he's a troublemaker? And in the process of trying to discredit Paul, they were actually telling the gospel to people. And so you can take it, maybe it was happening both ways, but as he said there, one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So how did Paul respond to this? Did he say, we need to shut them up? That's not a good word. We need to make sure that they don't speak those things. We have to keep them quiet. We only want people who are sincerely preaching the word. They're causing too much trouble. Well, it's interesting, he says, verse 18, what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. That's an interesting response. Well, if they're going to share the gospel, I don't really care if it's going to make life harder for me, as long as the gospel is getting out. Even if they're doing it for wrong motives, at least they're preaching the gospel. And so, it seems as though Paul didn't care if they made things harder for him in prison. He was happy that they were telling others of Jesus. And so, there were many ways that the gospel was being spread because of Paul's imprisonment. He shared with those that came to his jail or house. He shared with the soldiers, and they went out and told others as well. Brethren grew bold because of his imprisonment, and also even Paul's enemies told others that of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And he says, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense, that is, wrong motives, or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, and will rejoice. You know, that's a wonderful testimony. Paul didn't quite really care about himself. He was just more interested that God is glorified and the gospel goes out. That's what excited him more. And what we see here is Paul had a wonderful knack that all of us Christians should have, yet we so often don't, and that is seeing the good in times of trouble and being able to use whatever comes our way as an opportunity to tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 19, Paul says something that is a little strange and can be interpreted a couple of ways. But he says, "For I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer." The salvation that he's talking about obviously isn't getting saved and being able to go to heaven. It's talking about being set free. He says, "I know that this shall turn to my being able to be set free." And so what is the this he's talking about? Well, the this, in the context of what we read, is how the gospel is being preached by those who love him and those who don't love him. And we can see as we move into verse 20 that he can see that there are two ways that he could be set free from this prison. There could be, as the gospel goes out and people get saved, that people are drawn to his cause and they speak on his behalf and he's released in that manner. Or it could be the complete opposite, where people are turned on Paul and they despise Paul and they bring about his death. But regardless if he is set free and able to run around, or he is put to death and he gets to go to heaven, he is free from that prison cell. And we read that is probably what he's referring to, one of the two ways, because of what he says in verse 20. It says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death." And so, regardless if it's through life or death, he's going to be able to be set free because of the preaching of the gospel that's going forth. But that's a side issue. What's more important is what he actually says there in verse 20. Let me read it again to you. He says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." What Paul is saying here is, I'm not sure how things are going to end. I'm not sure if I'm going to be set free and be able to go out and roam around the earth again, or if I'm going to be put to death and go to heaven. But my earnest hope is that regardless of what happens, I will not shame my Saviour, but that His name will be glorified in my body, whether it be through life or death. And when you stop to think of where He is, and then consider what He says, that's a wonderful testimony for us all to have. Let's remember, as far as we're aware, Paul didn't get a little visit from an angel this time saying, "Paul, don't worry, you're going to get out of this prison and you're going to go and preach the gospel for many more years." He had that in the past, but from what we read, there's no mention of that. So Paul is not sitting in the prison knowing that he's been told he's going to get out. And then in boldness he says, or writes, "Regardless if I live or die, I trust that I won't shame my Saviour, but I'll bring glory to Him," secretly knowing he's going to get out. Now, it's very easy to be bold when you know that the outcome is what you're wanting. But he was willing to say this, not knowing if he lived, or if he died, or he stayed exactly where he was. He could have been executed the following week, or he could have been on a ship to Ephesus, or he could have still been in that prison, but he was willing to say that. Regardless, he didn't want to shame his Lord through his actions. If he lived, he wanted to bring glory to the Lord in his life. If he was executed, he wanted to bring glory to the Lord in his death. If he stayed exactly where he was, he wanted to bring glory to the Lord in that prison. Now, that's a wonderful attitude, and that is something we all need to have, and we need to have it fixed in our heart prior to the problems coming. Because it's very hard to get that once these things come. And, you know, we're all going to find ourselves in times of trouble, times of unknowns, times where we think we're stuck in a circumstance and it's never going to change. Maybe we're waiting on results and we don't know if they're going to be good or bad results from the doctor. Whatever it may be. But in these times, have you ever stopped and said, "Lord, no matter what happens, if you get me out of this, or it becomes a reality, this terrible thing, or if I stay where I am, please let me not shame you in my actions. Show me how I can bring glory to you." You know, that's why verse 12 and verse 20 go together so wonderfully. Verse 12 says, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." And so no matter what I'm facing, I'm going to seek to use it to the furtherance of the gospel. Why? Verse 20, "That in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." I know I've mentioned this before, but, you know, my father has said to me quite a few times, he said, "Alan, I've sat beside people on their deathbed many times. A lot of Christians. Some have a wonderful testimony of Christ, how they're waiting to go to glory, and others, it's just not a very nice time or a very good testimony." And Dad has said, "I often pray that God will allow me to die well." I think that's a very good prayer to pray. Start praying it while you're young, so you've been praying it for a long time. "Lord, help me to die well." But it shouldn't just be, "Lord, help me die well." It should also be, "Lord, help me to live well." Regardless if it's the last day I live, or just one of the many days you've given me, I pray that I will bring glory to you in my life. In my life and in my death. And the way that you do that is you look at Where am I now on this journey on earth? What circumstances do I find myself in? Are they good or are they bad? Are they hard or are they sad? And say, Lord, how do you want to use me in this circumstance to bring glory to you? Who can I share the gospel with in this circumstance? And that's how we live well. You know, A.W. Tozer said, the true Christian ideal is not to be happy, but to be holy. I trust we'll seek to be holy in our life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can have a purpose regardless of what circumstance we are in. Help us to be aware of how you want to use us when we find ourselves in places we wouldn't normally choose to be. But Lord, you brought us there for a reason, through various circumstances that are often even out of our control. Help us to use us. Help us to be used of you in these circumstances and make our life count. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.